Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I grew up in the mountains. And there were some good things about growing up in the mountains and bad things. We're not going to talk about the bad things, but it was really a neat place to grow up in East Tennessee. I used to love driving with my parents up into the mountains and going up into Gatlinburg and places like that where we lived, and you could see all around, and the fall was absolutely gorgeous, seeing all the different colors, and it was a wonderful experience growing up there as a child and seeing the beauty of God. And indeed, I would agree that there is something very spiritual about being on a mountain. I don't know if you've experienced that, but there really is. Maybe it's being a little closer to heaven. I don't know. Maybe it's being able to see out over all of God's creation. Maybe that's it. I know for me, one of my favorite things to do, and remember, I'm weird, is to go away once a year to a monastery. And one of my favorite monasteries to go to is in Phoenix, Arizona, and they have a beautiful trail that goes up over a mountain and looks over the whole city. And it's just a very spiritual experience to be on top of that mountain. And that's what we're really talking about today, are these spiritual experiences, this mountaintop experience, because we celebrate Transfiguration today. And you know, there are many things we can talk about when it comes to Transfiguration, but in reality, there is one issue, one topic we don't discuss much in our church bodies, and that's the issue of spirituality. The issue of the fact that we live in a battle, a constant world that battles around us between good and evil. And we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware of how Satan operates in our world and how he works. And so today we're going to take an in-depth look at this idea of spirituality and what it means to have a mountaintop experience. To gain a better understanding of the use of mountains in Scripture, we employ a method of study called biblical typology. Probably perhaps my favorite way to study the Bible. And this is how it goes. Let's say you pick a theme. You pick something that happens in Scripture, and you really want to dig into it and find out more about it. Well, we believe as Lutherans that Scripture informs Scripture, or that the Word of God teaches the Word of God. In other words, you can't just pluck something out of the Word and say, this is the teaching, without trying to find it and what it says elsewhere in Scripture. That would be false doctrine, false teaching, and it's not a good way to do things, because I could stand up here today and convince you that you are to send me to Hawaii if I wanted to, and probably could pull it somewhere out of Scripture, right? But that's not how Scripture works. Scripture translates Scripture. It informs itself. And so with biblical typology, what happens is we look at a topic and we study that throughout Scripture. We look at all the instances where that topic occurs, what was going on, the events surrounding it, the people involved, what happened, and it informs our teaching, our doctrine, and our understanding. And so that's what we do when we look at mountains. So my question for you is, off the top of your head, can you think of a time where mountains played a significant role in the Bible? Can you think of a time? And you can say it out loud. You have permission. What? Ten Commandments. Yeah. Okay, Ten Commandments. Good one, good one. What else? Noah's Ark. Yes, he landed on a mountain. Yes. What else? Okay, yep. Blessings and curses of Israel. Yep. Jesus often taught from a mountaintop or a hilltop when he was teaching, right? So people could see him, but it was a spiritual experience. Where was Jesus crucified? On the mountain or the hilltop of Golgotha, right? And so these are spiritual experiences. And so we see these times in God's word where we recall the spiritual power of these mountains. And you see happening on these mountains spiritual events. And that's really the key to this discussion of what we call biblical typology. It's not just the fact that it was a mountain. It was what's going on with that mountain. Blessings and curses were being given out over Israel. Jesus Christ was dying and being crucified on a mountain. Noah's Ark lands on a mountain and repopulates the earth from there, saves the world through water, through the flood. God saves the world. And so all of these are wonderful spiritual experiences. Mountaintop experiences are those times in our lives when God reveals himself more fully to us. Now, I want you to hear that again. Mountaintop experiences are those times in our lives where God reveals himself more fully to us. That's a very powerful realization to come to. Because a lot of times people talk, I'm having a mountaintop experience and it sounds great and grand and beautiful, right? And sometimes it doesn't. We'll get to that in a minute. But this is exactly what's happening in our text from St. Luke today. Here Jesus gathers up his disciples, three of them, and they go up to a mountain and the disciples do what they do best. What do? They fall asleep. They're really good at doing that, right? And so are some of you. I've seen you before. No, I'm just kidding. And so they fall asleep up on this mountain, and all of a sudden, Jesus changes. He becomes white like lightning, white, dazzling white, brighter than anyone has ever seen on earth. And there's Jesus, right? Three guys are with him. Three guys together. Who are the other two with him? Moses and Elijah. And the disciples wake up, and they rub their eyes, and they see this thing happening before them. And don't you just love what Peter does? Oh, Peter, right? Peter says, as they're starting to go away, wait, stop for a minute. This is a great place to be. Let's just build three shelters or put up three tents or three habitats, and we don't have to go anywhere else. We'll just stay right here forever. This is great. Let's have a party. And God ignores it. And all of a sudden, a cloud envelops them, and they hear the voice of God. They hear the voice of God, and what does the voice of God say? This is my chosen one. This is my son. God affirms Jesus. And at that very moment, what is happening to them? God is revealing himself to those disciples on that mountain. He's revealing himself to them. And what's amazing is it truly is a mountaintop experience for them for that reason. And number two, because Peter's idea was shot down. Jesus basically looks at Peter and without words says, no, because guess what? We have to leave the mountain so that other people will know the revelation that was given to you, which really talks about our Christian life. And that's a whole nother sermon, which I'll preach next Transfiguration Sunday, because that's not what we're focusing on today. But they had this mountaintop experience, this spiritual encounter with Jesus, and it was a beautiful thing. So often we do think of mountaintop experiences as those times of peace and joy and happiness. But in reality, my dear brothers and sisters in Jesus, mountaintop experiences very rarely are experiences of happiness, joy, and peace. Because the reality of the Christian life, what you signed up for, is that we will suffer because Satan attacks us harder. You see, if we're talking about spiritual things, we need to address spiritual things. And the reality is, the closer you and I get to Jesus in our life, the harder and more intentionally does Satan attack us. If we think otherwise, well, the words of St. Peter comes to mind, be careful. Your enemy, Satan, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Brothers and sisters, the closer we get to God and his revelation in our lives, sometimes the harder life gets. But what a blessing it really is to go through mountaintop experiences, because it is in the depths of our trial, the depths of our woe, the depths of our hardship where we see the power of Jesus more clearly. No, it's not a pleasant thing. But the reality is, mountaintop experiences keeps our eyes focused on Jesus and the desperate need that you and I have for him. If they did not occur, as my grandma said, we'd be too big for our britches and lose the reality that we need Jesus. I look at my life and the mountaintop experiences, the death of my kids, both of them. The year and a half I took off to work on my own self and my PTSD issues and the trauma that I had in my life and the early traumahood as a child. And you know, I could do one of two things. I can look at that and say, woe is me, how sad is my life? Or I can look back at that now with joy and say, thank you, God, for those blessings and mountaintop experiences. Because it's those events in my life who make me who I am. It's those events in my life that bring me to the stark realization that I cannot live, I cannot breathe, I cannot move. I cannot have peace and joy and life in this world or the next to come without Jesus Christ. It is in those moments where I come and came to the full realization of what God has done for me. Oh, that was good. And it's those moments in your lives where you come to the realization of what God in Jesus does for you. And so we go through these experiences, and Satan loves to attack us, does he not? And you know, we experience that here at church. We experience it at a real level. And I keep telling people, beware, the closer we get to God and the more we start doing things right, Satan's going to attack us. That's inevitable. I hate to tell you that. And I'm not telling you that to be afraid. I'm not telling you that so you can be afraid. I'm not telling you so you can run away. I'm telling you this because it's reality. This is the world we live in. It's reality. The age-old question, why do bad things happen to good people? This is why. Because Satan attacks us harder. He already has the unbeliever in his hands. He doesn't have to attack them. Life goes well for them without Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to scare you away. The reality is, we must be aware. The number one way we defeat Satan at his own game in these mountaintop experiences is by realizing, number one, something spiritual is going on. Number two, seeking the lesson that God is trying for us to learn in the midst of that. And number three, rejoicing in the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and is our Lord and Savior. And number four, going to him in prayer and covering that situation with Jesus Christ himself. In these ways, we celebrate the victory that Jesus has given us, and Satan cannot stand it. He cannot be present where the praises of Jesus are declared. Satan cannot be present in the praises of Jesus Christ, and he flees from them. And in these ways we overcome. In these ways we are strengthened. In these ways we grow closer to God in total dependence, in total surrender. Learning that our life is totally dependent on the one who died on the cross and rose from the cross for us. It's in the midst of mountaintop experiences that the presence of Jesus shines through into our hearts and lives, and that's the beauty of the gospel. You know, I don't like Lent for one reason. I think it's a great season, but you know why? I'm going to share it with you, because we take the word hallelujah out of it. Because hallelujah really is our victory cry. What do we say on Easter? I can't wait for Easter. I do it at every funeral over and over again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. That is our victory cry. That is the cry that we rely on as Christians, in knowing that because Jesus has risen from the dead, Satan has been destroyed. He doesn't know it yet because he's dumb, but he's been destroyed. The victory is assured to be your victory and my victory. Heaven has been opened to you and to me, and we without any doubt know that is our eternal home, without any doubt. And we take the hallelujah out. Even though we know as Lutherans that every Sunday is a celebration of Easter, even during the Lenten season, if you want to know more about that, read the newsletter article I just put out, and it'll teach you about that. But we take it out. Well, that's a discussion for another time. But you see, it's in those praises, in those victory cries, in celebrating the fact that Jesus is alive, that Jesus overcame the grave, that Jesus is risen with shouts of hallelujah, that you and I grow closer to God, overcome Satan, and have beautiful mountaintop experiences that lead us deeper and deeper into the presence of Christ, that help us to know his heart for us more, his love for us more, his grace for us more, his mercy for us more, and the fact that because he lives, we too will live forever. Because really deep down, our greatest desire in our Christian journey is to know more the heart of Jesus, to be more intimate with him, to be more close to him. Be careful what you pray for. That's a lesson I've learned in life. Because God will answer that. But it's really beautiful when he does. Sure, as we go through the death of a loved one, as we bury children, as we suffer with our own illnesses and our own brokenness and all the garbage that life throws our way, and the reality is it's garbage. As we deal with those moments of pressure and anxiety and fear and doubt in our lives, it literally is hell on earth. It is miserable. Would you agree? But the beautiful thing is, on just the other side, there's a light that shines. A light that scatters the darkness. A light that illumines our lives with truth. A light that draws us closer and closer. And as we get closer, we see Jesus in dazzling white appearance, with a smile on his face and his arms wide open, running to meet us in the midst of the chaos in life. And he says, "My peace I give you. Come to me." and beautiful things happen. Beautiful things happen as Jesus draws us to his heart. Beautiful things happen as the world around us see us as Christians dealing with things differently than what they expected. The testimony of Christ shines in us. As the disciples saw it on the mountain that day, so too do people see it in you and in me. And guess what? The world is transformed because they want that peace. They want that hope. They desire it more than they know. So brothers and sisters, prepare yourselves for mountaintop experiences. Don't be afraid, because the Lord God is with you and beautiful things will happen. Our confidence comes in knowing he never leaves us nor forsakes us. And that even now as we speak, he's preparing a reward for us which is beyond our own thoughts or imaginations. So with great joy, the prayer of the Christmas season ends today as we say, come, Lord Jesus, come into our lives, come and take us home, come and be with us now and forever. In his name, amen.